Who are we? Who are we? What is this thing? What is this thing that we call church? Both here on a Sunday morning like this or a Sunday afternoon, but also in different ways, right? We meet together as the church in small groups. Friday night, there was the first meeting of our women's ministry, Belong. Great time was had, I gather. The men's hill walk is happening this coming Saturday. If you didn't get an email from Billy about that, please let me know and we'll forward that on to you. In coffee shop visits, in one-on-ones, in WhatsApp group threads, in service together, in various ministries. Who are we? Who are we? I went to Costco with Jacob on Thursday, and as we were leaving there, we were walking past the membership desk, and he was asking about membership at Costco, and what did that mean? I explained, well, you pay them money every year, and they give you a card with a horrible photo of yourself on it, and they offer you the opportunity to buy ridiculous items that you couldn't possibly need, in sizes and quantities that you couldn't possibly fit in your cupboards in your house, but I said, it's all worth it, because pizza, Costco pizza, is that's all you need to know. That's worth the membership fee alone. We're chatting about this thing, membership, and as I'm speaking to Jacob about Costco membership, I'm struck that this is a word that we so often use to describe life here in Hillview or in Kintore. And in that moment, it made it just not feel very nice. In Costco, and the fluorescent lights and the terms and conditions and this administrative context with a fee to be paid, membership. I think, well, that's not how I think of membership at Hillview and Kintore. What's that about? Well, we have held on to this word membership. You hear us speak about membership quite a lot in the church, and it can, admittedly, it can lead some people to stumble for some of the reasons I mentioned. The word membership now can feel a little cold, a little institutional, but we have held on to it because the Bible does speak about the fact that we are members of the body of Christ. Individually, parts of the body of Christ making up the church, or that we are members of the household of God. So we've held on to this word, but the Bible doesn't just leave us, you know, worrying about what membership means. It gives us many, many other pictures for what it means to be part of the church that leave us in no doubt that this is not some sort of club. This is not some business that you sign up to like you might sign up to Costco membership. Now, we caught a glimpse of one of these pictures for the church last week as Melissa stood up to share her testimony. If you were there, I wonder, do you remember what Melissa's very first two words were as she stood up? So precious, so natural, so heartfelt. I saw a manuscript of what Melissa was going to share, and these words that she first spoke were not on her manuscript. It wasn't some carefully considered phrase that she'd planned or studied for. It just was natural to her. As she stood up, she saw something, and she said, can anyone remember her first two words? Hi, family. Hi, family, she said. Family. Family. That is who we are. It's one of the reasons that we call this gathering today our one family gathering. Brothers and sisters here today, united in Christ through the Spirit, children before our Father in heaven. Family. This is a family gathering. Now, like many family gatherings, there are sometimes guests who are welcomed into that context. If you're visiting this morning, you are so welcome. You might be part of another church, our extended family, or you might not be part of any family of faith whatsoever, but you are so welcome. And you will see that as you come around Hillview or Kintore, you will see that just like every family, we have our own little quirks here in our church. Every family has its own vocabulary, its own way of doing things, its own way of existing together. And sometimes that can feel lovely and precious. And then sometimes other family gatherings can feel a little strange. You think, well, this is different to what I'm used to. And here in our church, we definitely have our oddities. We definitely have our quirks. We have our awkward aunts. We have our uncles who make us cringe with inappropriate jokes or weird stories. We have our brothers who get on our nerves. We have our sisters who have different opinions to us. That's family life, right? And we just welcome one another to the chaos, and we try and enjoy life together. Family, it's who we are. It's one of the words up there on the wall. You see, what these words are, mission, worship, grace, family, growth, these are our five values as a church. And as we are going through the Bible in 2017, we're also pausing on five occasions to look at one of our church values every so often. And under this value, family, it says this on our website: the church is the family of God. We are brothers and sisters, people of all ages, sharing in each other's lives, not members in a club. We should be generous towards one another, vulnerable and honest with each other, caring for and seeking good for one another. We should be hospitable, both to those inside and those outside the family of God. And it's lovely, right? I mean, when I mentioned Jennifer Milne to you, do you sense the care and love and concern around about you and the brothers and sisters in this church? That's family. Just one of any number of needs I could have mentioned. Love and care for one another. That's family. Now, did you notice in the little spiel that I read from the website, it speaks there about the family of God. Twice it's referred to there as the family of God. The most important thing we can say by way of foundation is that if we are family together, it is because we are God's family. So 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. God is at the center. He is the head of the family. It's all gift. It's all gift that we get to know one another as brothers and sisters. It's all His doing. He is the one in whom we find our unity, our connection, our shared love. This is important because we're not trying to manufacture some sense of togetherness out of nowhere. That would be impossible. You know why? Because we're all so different. We're all so different here this morning. But it is as we continually look to God that we find our unity together as brothers and sisters. A.W. Tozer, the American pastor and author, once wrote this, quote, "Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So, 100 worshipers met together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship." You see, this sense of us being family together, that's not actually the main point, but that flows from somewhere. Imagine you were to take, let's just say, for example, you're to take myself and another member of our small group. So let's say you're to take myself and Dawn Party. Sorry, Dawn. And let's say you were to ask us to write down our reasons for being united under the following headings: cultural history, personality type, style of humor and vocabulary, stage of life. Even if you were to think about hobbies and interests, now it's a given that obviously Dawn is a Liverpool Football Club fan. We know that, right? That's a given. But one of Dawn's hobbies and interests is walking. Now, if you know me, that ain't one of my hobbies or interests. So we wouldn't find much unity under that heading either. So on paper, you wouldn't necessarily think that Dawn and I have too much in common. But when Dawn prays, when Dawn says her, "Yes, Heavenly Father, we thank you that prayer," as she does at small group, when she prays her, "We will give you all the glory and honor that is due your name," prayer. When Dawn prays her, "We thank you that the victory is yours," prayer. When Dawn prays her, "We thank you for what you're doing in the lives of our young people," prayer. Then within me wells up the deepest and most heartfelt, "Amen! Amen, Dawn!" And in that moment, I cherish my sister afresh, because she is focused on God, because she is pouring her heart out to God. And I say, "Amen, amen. Thank you for pointing me to Jesus once again, sister." When Dawn's piano is so clearly tuned to the melody of heaven, then some of our other small group members get involved in that. Then Claire joins in with the harmony of God's grace, and Colin resounds with the deep and resonant bass notes of God's sovereignty. And Jane raises the trumpet sound of the victory of God, and Ian beats the drum of the Father's heartbeat for his children. And our other small group members sing the chorus of God's never-ending goodness. Then my heart wants to join in with that beautiful, beautiful song. We're together in that moment. We're one. We are family. Not because we're trying really hard to be family together, not because we're trying to be like one another, but because we are tuned to one note, to one song, to one standard, one beautiful symphony conducted by one perfect conductor. It is then, in that moment, that the music of day-to-day family life and ministry and church start to flow out naturally from that place, from that song, from that unity. This is what we see in Paul's letter to the Romans. I invite you to turn there. Grab a Bible. I'll ask Sam to do his best and get some of the words up on the screen. We're going to start in Romans 11, verse 33, Sam. Invite you to turn there. If you don't have a Bible, please just go and get one. Just please take one home and let us know if you've taken one of those Bibles home. We'd love to help you with that. For 11 chapters, if you need to help someone near you find where Romans is, please have a look and just help them find along. For 11 chapters of Paul's letter to the church in Rome, he has been laying out with exquisite Holy Spirit-inspired care and logic the masterpiece of the gospel of God. And he's been laying this out chapter after chapter, to the extent that he gets to the end of chapter 11 and this overflow of worship spills out from him from verse 33 of Romans 11. "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." Amen. And now the question is, well, what does this mean for the church in Rome? And we get the answer straight away, because verse 1 of chapter 12, the very next verse says, "I appeal to you, therefore, so because of this, I have something to share with you." With all your pianos tuned to the same tuning fork of the glory of this good news, "therefore, I appeal to you, brothers," or an entirely appropriate way to read that is to say "brothers and sisters." A little footnote confirms that if you don't believe me. So now here we are talking about family. In light of this beautiful gospel, I appeal to you. I plead with you, brothers and sisters. We're talking family now. There is a response for us. By the mercies of God, all rooted in God's grace. None of us can do this in our own strength this morning to do something, to do this, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So we are to present our bodies. We are to present. We are to give something to God. We're to present our bodies, that is tangible action, our hands, our feet, our mouths. We are to give these tangible actions to God, rooted in a practical way. And this is described as a living, it's an ongoing thing, sacrifice. So let me just say, some of you are thinking, family, I don't feel part of the family. And that's true. There are people among us who don't feel part of the family. Why? Because this is not easy. This is not easy. This is sacrifice. So as a living sacrifice, we're going to come back to this. And it's to be pleasing to God. And it's to be our spiritual worship. So this is our song now. Do you hear? One thing, singing songs. That's good and right that we do that. But this is also our song, tuned to the same note of God's grace. Our lives are to respond in worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So again, this is not a natural process. This is a supernatural thing. This doesn't happen in the world, what we're talking about today, okay? There's much precious community, many dear, dear friends, but Christian family is different. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind in order to see this happen. Verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, individually members one of another. So just as explicit as it could be, this is talking about life in the church family just now. First of all, come with humility. Don't think of yourself more highly than you should. And then see that we are different. We're many different members, all doing different things, but deeply woven together. Just love the way it speaks about it. Members one of another. Other translations speak about members who belong to one another. That in some way, I'm sorry about this, guys, I am yours. You have to deal with me. You are mine. We belong to one another. And then in verses 6 to 8 of Romans 12, Paul starts to list off various spiritual gifts given in the church. And then from verse 9 to the end of this chapter, he lays out some characteristics of family life. And I just want to read these verses now. I don't have a lot of in-depth analysis. It's just here for us. It's just so plain to see. It's just, I invite you to submit yourself to this just now. This is family life from verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. You see that we need God's help. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, that is arrogant, superior, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink.
for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
This is family life. Just invite you, if it's helpful, just close your eyes. I'm just going to repeat these and test your heart now against these. This is family life. Genuine love for your brothers and sisters. Hating evil. Family affection for one another. Desperate to show honor. Let your heart. Full of passion and wholehearted service to God. Full of joy and hope. Patient in hard times. Constant in prayer. Generous in practical giving. Opening your home. Sharing your possessions. Kind to those who have wronged you. Kind to those who have wronged you. Rejoicing with others' joy, weeping with those who weep, living in harmony, no pride or superiority, walking beside those who are beat down, even when we're treated in an evil way, responding in peace. Even if that is just a one-way thing, when the other person seems to want to push you away, to push that away, never seeking revenge, giving any injustice that there is over to God for him to deal with in his perfect justice, blessing your enemy in practical ways, always pursuing good, even when facing evil. This is family life. My brothers and my sisters, who are we? This is who we are. This is who we are. And that's not easy. How often it is that the Church of Jesus Christ has just seemed to give up on such a vision of life together. But not us, right? Not us. Not Hillview. Not Kintore. May we never give up on this beautiful vision of what it means to live as the family of God. May it never be that we would give up our pursuit of this vision of family life. We stumble at this. We stumble at this over and over again. I suspect every single person here who counts Hillview or Kintore as their spiritual home has known disappointment in the way that some of these things have been expressed or not expressed towards them over the years. Every single one of us will have known disappointment against that list. And I certainly hope that every one of us would be willing to admit that we have not acted that way towards others around about us. We stumble with this stuff. Family life is not easy to get right. We know that in our own families. When I was 16 years old, I wrote an A4 sheet of paper and put it in this envelope, which I scanned in a few years ago. Confidential. Please do not open. Martin Clark. I obviously hadn't adopted the J at that point. Martin Clark. And I obviously didn't know how to write dates either. I started with commas and then switched to points in the middle. I don't know what's going on there. But 10/5/17. A couple of... Thank you. It looks like a 17. That would be like a week from now. or so. That would be spooky. I hope I don't have to write another letter like that a week from now. 97, thank you. A couple of months before I turned 17. And inside that envelope, I found it a few years ago. I still have it. I opened it up and I found that I had a handwritten piece of paper titled this, Instructions for Parenthood. And I had 10 ideas that I had written down over 2 separate occasions as to what good parenting should really be. Clearly written from a place of deep teenage angst, right? Now, I have to say, I just to be honest with you, I could not have asked for more loving parents, for better parents. I just could not have asked for better parents at all. But still, I clearly felt that there were some lessons that I wanted to hold on to based on the injustices that had come my way. And I read these 10 points, and I read them again just yesterday, and I smiled, and I wanted to cry. Now, here's the thing. Most of them were actually reasonable points if you didn't know the context. But when you know the context, all of them were utterly cringeworthy. All of them ultimately rooted in naivety, rooted in selfish motivation, rooted in self-righteousness. None of them I have kept perfectly as a father. And all of them, my kids will probably feel in the coming years, and they'll probably end up writing their own letter. Who knows? This is how we think about family life. It's not easy. But rather than seek God's help for ourselves, it is certainly easier to take the frustrations that we have felt based on the wrongs or so-called perceived wrongs that others have done to us. And it is easier for us to come up with a list of rules by which we judge the standards of family life that others present to us. To read this passage in Romans chapter 12 and see the many ways that others have fallen short in terms of how they have treated us, and to rewrite this code again in a way that makes us feel good, in a way that makes us want to hold others up to our standard, rather than us embracing verse 3 of Romans chapter 12. I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. We come to this topic, and that's the way we need to come. Not thinking of ourselves more highly than we should, but to come with sober judgment about where we are, and to pray for faith to rise up in our hearts as a gift from God, to believe that the best is yet to come in our family of faith here in Hillview and Kintore. We need faith to believe that. Yes, we do. In his book, Reaching Out, Henri Nouwen writes this: the Christian community is a waiting community. That is a community which not only creates a sense of belonging, but also a sense of estrangement. In the Christian community, we say to each other, we are together, but we cannot fulfill each other. We help each other, but we also have to remind each other that our destiny is beyond our togetherness. The support of the Christian community is a support in common expectation that requires a constant criticism of anyone who makes the community into a safe shelter or a cozy clique, and a constant encouragement to look forward to what is to come. He's saying the same thing as Tozer was saying. Don't judge the quality of our family life by looking only within, but look beyond ourselves. As he says there now, in our destiny is beyond our togetherness. We are looking beyond to what is to come. We tune our lives not to one another, but to another, to the perfect standard, the one who makes our song together beautiful. Why do we do that? How do we do that? Well, it takes faith to believe, because it is all gift of God. It all comes back to God, to our perfect Father in heaven. 1 John 3:1, two have already read it. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. So yes, there is a sense in which today we say, yes, God, thank you that we are your children. Thank you that I have my brothers and sisters around about me. And we also look forward to verse 2. Beloved, We are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. What kind of love is this that calls us into this family and gives us this perfect assurance that though we stumble now, though we wrong one another now, one day we will be just as our perfect Heavenly Father is, because we will see him as he truly is. Do you remember what the same Apostle John said at the start of his gospel? To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It is a right given by the Father in heaven. It's a gift. It is an honor. It is privilege for us. And our calling as a church is to rest in that, to rest in the privilege that has been granted to us through the grace of God to anyone who would believe in Jesus as their Savior. We rest in that. We don't strive to create that, but we just soak in, enjoy what God has given. Bonhoeffer wrote, "Christian brotherhood is not an ideal which we must realize. It is rather a reality created by God in Christ in which we may participate." It's a gift. We're invited in. So do you participate in this family life? Will you join in this beautiful one another life that we are called to together? It is a precious gift of God. We see glimpses of it. We see glimpses of it. I got an email the other day from someone who has been able to visit our church on occasion and knows some people here in the fellowship. And I asked permission to share some of what was written in the email and was given permission to share this. I'm coming to a close now. I just wanted to tell you what a joy it is to be in Hillview and how thankful I am for this church family. Hillview is the first expression I've had of a church where when you walk in the door, like feeling a wall of heat when you come off a plane in a hot country, you're met with a feeling of such overwhelming love and joy, you can't help but smile and give thanks. I'd never known that's what church could be like until I visited Hillview. It has pushed me to find my own church in my hometown where I could feel that love and joy. Being able to laugh, smile, dance, shout out to God, and cry, brackets, a lot, exclamation mark. In church, feeling no judgment or shame, freely being able to give praise is so, so special. I didn't know that was okay until these visits I've had, to bring your broken self to church and not just the fixed self. Seeing people so happy at Hillview and so energized in their faith showed me that church could be different. And I just wanted to say how grateful I am for the Hillview family. Even being miles away, I still feel blessed to have such a wonderful extended church family there in Aberdeen. Who are we? Not a church, not a business, not an organization, but a bunch of sinners who have known the grace of God making us his children together. We're just children, right, before our Heavenly Father, who are experiencing week in, week out, more and more we pray the gift of God calling us into this reality of family, where we seek to tune our hearts to his beautiful song, and where that heavenly sound resounds around us so that it spills into the lives of our brothers and sisters that we meet with week by week. A family who knows that that song is imperfect now. We're so often out of tune and out of step with God's perfect score, aren't we? But a family who knows that one day
we will know this gift of God in all its fullness. We will join together in the perfect song of heaven. We will join in perfect harmony once and for all. We will sing the great song of God, brothers and sisters, before our precious Father in heaven. That's who we are. May we in Hillview Community Church, Kintore Community Church, more and more come to embrace this beautiful reality together. May we sing to the best of our ability the song of God with our eyes fixed on Him. He is the author of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. He is the one who makes our family precious and who will one day reveal it as perfectly pure, spotless, His bride. For us to forevermore enjoy one another and Him together.